Today, who's really stealing your money? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to another of our conversations with John Adams, the economist. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you going?
Very good. Good to see you again.
You too.
So we're going to have an interesting conversation today about money. And interestingly, in our first post, there were a few dialogues afterwards, discussions after the post, saying, well, why can't we just let things continue to run?
Exactly.
No? Yeah.
Exactly.
So clearly our audience is also asking some interesting questions about what is money and how does it work? And so it seems quite appropriate to spend some time thinking about what may seem quite a simple question, but I suspect you're going to tell me it's way more complicated. Okay. So John, look, I've got these notes in my hand. And if I want to buy a property today, right, I need a pretty big wheelbarrow full of these to be able to actually buy it. I guess if I bought the same property 10 years ago, I would need a smaller wheelbarrow because effectively back then the value of things was lower.
That's right.
But I'm really not totally clear on what really has happened because effectively there's no reality behind this. There's no gold or anything. So the numbers just got bigger.
Yes. So the numbers got bigger because over the last decade, the government and the banking system have created more physical and digital pieces of plastic that has expanded the money supply. And then obviously with more of those in circulation, those become worth less. And obviously property prices go higher because the house relative to an increase in pieces of plastic is worth more because there's more pieces of plastic in circulation. So that's why you see house prices going up when you have an increase in the money supply. And this is going back to, I think, our first conversation when we talked about, well, what is inflation? And inflation is when you create more pieces of paper, more pieces of plastic, and it's actually the growth of money, not the increase in prices. The consequence of creating more pieces of plastic is that the plastic is worth less. People see past dilution, and then prices go up.
So that means that savings that I have today, compared with 10 years ago, are actually worth less. The number might be bigger.
Yes.
But in terms of what I can do with it, it's smaller.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what economists call the when you lose purchasing power.
Right.
So when you think about money, what is the purpose of money? It is to transact, to buy a good or service. And the value of money is what can you get for that in terms of that thing. So in terms of the money. So when you think about Zimbabwe, they had a $1 trillion note. There was poor people in Zimbabwe who were billionaires. But that Zimbabwean dollar, it didn't actually translate for them to actually buy real goods and services that they need to actually have a good standard of living.
Right. So the definition of money is partly as a medium of exchange. Right?
Yes.
That's a fundamental part of it. But if the value effectively is being devalued simply because more of it's being created, then effectively it's all just illusory.
Precisely. And what we've seen for the last 1,000 years is that when you have a paper or plastic currency that's not backed by anything tangible, the politicians will always print too much of it. It diminishes its value, inflation goes up, people lose confidence in that money, and then the money goes back to its intrinsic, or the pieces of plastic go back to intrinsic value, which is basically zero. So for example, in Germany, with what happened with the German mark was when you had hyperinflation running at 322% per month, ultimately people lost confidence in the pieces of plastic called the mark, and then they had to come up with a new currency called the Rentenmark, which was gold-backed. Or in the case of Zimbabwe, when people lost confidence in the Zimbabwean dollar, they just substituted the Zimbabwean dollar and they started using US dollars. So obviously these examples are people saying, well, we're not going to see, or people, you know, we've never had hyperinflation in Australia. People are saying, those things don't happen. But this is the course of what happens when you create too many pieces of plastic. You have runaway inflation, and you have loss of value. And this is what we're seeing in housing. And obviously the consequence of that is we've got the biggest amount of debt relative to income since the first sleep.
Okay. So let's just, as we come to the close of this conversation, then come back to the question. So who is stealing our money?
Well, so who is stealing the money? It is the politicians. It is the Reserve Bank. They are creating pieces of plastic that is actually diminishing the value of the dollar. And that is then resulting in the prices of things going up. And so you think about housing, people like to talk about increase in population, immigration, or land supply, or bank, or government regulation, or material cost, electricity, etc. But and obviously those elements play a role in the price of a property. But we know that the bulk of the increase in property prices is due to what they've done with money. It's because it's actually reflecting in the debt statistics, and this is why we've got the biggest debt bomb in the history of the country.
John, every time I speak to you, I end up feeling less comfortable at the end of it. But thank you nevertheless. It's been really interesting. And next time I get a note out of my wallet, I'll think twice.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So there you go. How much is your money worth? Not as much as you thought. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you again next time.